When I was ringing the bell, it made the sound not touching anything. When we are connected to the world, touching the world through any of the sense doors, that sound doesn't come. But only when mindfulness and clear comprehension, clear understanding, clear vision, clarity in the heart, born of pure thought, speech, and action, is present. These precepts give us a way to walk in the world holding on to something we can trust, so that the sound that comes from us is like this. It's pure sound. And so that the deeds that come from us, they are blessings, harmless, generous, not self-obsessed, not self-cherishing. It doesn't mean we don't take care of ourselves. We take care at every level of everyone. We develop this understanding and wisdom that has everyone in our heart. No moment of satipanya, of pure surrender to the presence with clear understanding that reveals who we really are, excludes any being. We are holding the world with four exalted states of mind in one of those moments. They go together. They are not apart. Those are loving kindness, compassion, empathetic joy, and an equanimity. For us to be able to create from within this beauty, this spiritual presence that is a blessing, we have to learn to restrain those senses. We have to develop. We are that purity already. But until we develop that purity, until we learn how to walk up a stairway or walk, we need to hold on to something we can trust. Just like an old person needs a cane or a railing, or a small plant needs a stick to hold it till it grows mature. That's what the precepts are. They are like the guardrails, the handrails on a stairway. It's like the bell has this little cushion. It softens the impacts of the world by making us soft from within. But we have to make a commitment to stay still, absolutely still. So we stay and commit to holding that support. These are our supports. We recite the precepts as if they were on the outside, because we interact with the world and we speak with people. So they are not only external supports, but they also apply internally. What kind of thoughts do we have? What kind of intentions? What projects? What in our life supports this internal focusing, rejoicing in our own purity, and giving life, giving breath, energy to what is true and not what is false? So the inner purity and the outer purity support each other. And by committing ourselves to precept, it's, I'm going to try my best. And if we fall down, somebody will disconnect us from what is harming us so that we can keep going. Somebody will take our hands and hold us up. Something will give us wings, and we will soar. Don't believe me. Try it. As human beings, we fall down. We will suffer. We will make mistakes. As long as we learn from our mistakes, as long as we see the danger of not saving life, the danger of destroying living things, living beings, or destroying others' peace of mind, of exploiting others' energy, wealth, possessions, of abusing the energies of our bodies for our own gratification. And as long as we see the danger of unmindfully speaking in ways that are destructive, critical, unkind, aggressive, would we want that for ourselves? No. Whatever we wouldn't want for ourselves, we wouldn't want for others. So to cherish others more than we cherish ourselves, that's the root of joy. And to cherish ourselves above others, the words of Shantideva, that is the source of our suffering. And unmindful consumption, food or drink or things that confuse the mind, obsessing with what we can get, what can gratify and give pleasure, rather than using the support that will give us the strength to be heroic in the way that we need to be, to walk this way. Even if we fall down, if we're trying our best, that's already heroic. And it's different for everyone. Not to compare. Not to look around and I'm not as good, because that's believing the old tapes. It's thought. It's not honoring what we really are and what we've been given to work with. Having the humility to do the best with what we have. Even if we're shaky, clumsy, disabled, sick, dying, we can still shine. We can still rejoice. It doesn't mean we don't feel pain. We feel the pain, but we're not defeated by it. Even in such a big hall as this, a tiny little bell can make such a great sound. We may feel small, powerless, insignificant, but we are much greater than we know, more powerful than we know. And it's not personal. It's not the me, the I, nothing like that. It's that timeless, deathless spark of holiness that resides within the heart of each of us. That's what gives us this precious quality. You may be familiar with Khalil Gibran. For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and to melt into the sun like the ice we saw today? It looks so impenetrable in the winter and now it's just slowly draining into the river. And the birds are gathering, and the sun is doing its work. And it does its work from within us, too. And what is it to cease breathing, but to free the breath from its restless tides, that it may rise and expand and seek the divine, unencumbered? Expanding beyond the body through the breath. Only when you drink from the river of silence shall you indeed sing. And when you have reached the mountaintop, then you shall begin to climb. And when the earth shall claim your limbs, then shall you truly dance. I'm kind of a radical, my father used to say. Why can't you be a Tibetan Buddhist? Because they eat in the evening. He didn't mind about the shaved head. He loved the robe. There's no need to go to extremes. Just go right down the middle and burn in that middle. Never avoid the burning, never thinking that the fire will somehow destroy us. The fire is our teacher. The fire of pain, the fire of persevering through difficulty, the fire of going beyond what you think you're capable of doing, of pushing the boundary. When I was young, I used to say, when I'm old, and now I got nothing to say. Nature is perfectly organized for this path and fruit to happen. Because the closer we come to death, if we ever thought we weren't close to death, because we never know, then we see that there's nothing else. We have to face giving up everything. So then what is there we can extract that is of true meaning from this life? I want that. And I don't want it as an idea anymore. Sit longer than anyone else. So much competition. So much striving. So much willing from an idea of someone who's going to get something. But it really doesn't work that way. It completely works the other way. Through surrendering, giving up thought, and coming from the heart, like a mother and like a father, coming from the heart to help your child, to be there for your child, even when you're too tired, when you can't. From somewhere in your bones, you eke out a little more strength for that which you truly love. You devote yourself. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. But we believe that the world will give us something better. But I learned from watching my parents in their generosity towards me. And I see it in my Dhamma sisters and brothers in their complete sacrifice for their kids. They give and they give and they give. The generosity that leads to surrender. That's the quality that we need to bring to this. Through being with the silence for a little bit, taste it, then you begin to trust it. You don't look for shortcuts. You don't look for instant ways. Even if you're dying, you'd never, never abandon this work. You don't have to believe in past lives or future lives or anything. But whatever there is beyond death, we know that because we've begun this work, we are totally soaked in this love. We can't separate ourselves from it. And the momentum of that, yeah, the soaking goes deep. And the seeds that are put there are given life by that love. And they will sprout just like the little snowdrops in the cloister on a cold March afternoon. There they are. Let's do a chant together, shall we?